blue side. Before we begin, I want to tell you what you're not going to hear today. In fact, I think you're not going to hear these in the church anywhere you go. Such as, hey, it's my turn to sit in the front pew. Or, I was so enthralled with your sermon that I didn't even know you went over 25 minutes. Personally, I find evangelism more satisfying than golf routines. What about, I volunteer to be the permanent teacher for the junior high Sunday school class. I love it when we've never sung hymns that we've sung before. Or how about, since we're all here, let's start service early. My personal favorite, Pastor, we'd like to send you and all the deacons to a week-long Bible seminar in the Bahamas. Please join me in prayer. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in the sight of the Lord and the strength of the Lord. Grace and peace to you from our risen Lord. Amen. Hallelujah, he is risen.
He is risen indeed.
What sort of people does Jesus pray for? Let me tell you with two stories. There was a small boy who was trying to move a large rock, trying to pick it up, move it, but he couldn't budge it. His father, passing by, stopped him, observed him, and he finally said, are you using all your strength to move that rock? And the boy replied, even with a smile, I'm using every bit of energy and strength I have. He sat a little bit exasperated, a little tired. The father turned to the boy and said, no, you're not using all your strength. You haven't asked me to help. But still, the stone couldn't be moved, so they asked Mom to help and his big sister, but they couldn't move it. Then a neighbor and another neighbor and another neighbor. And finally, with each one giving all their energy and strength to moving this stone, it could be moved. After everyone had left, the father turned to the son and said, see, if we all use our strength together, we can get almost anything done. But if we try by ourselves, there are many things that we cannot accomplish. Unity, togetherness, working together can add a greater strength to anything that we do. In another story about an imaginary man, it could be an imaginary woman, maybe it isn't so imaginary. There once was a man who was born into the happy city of regeneration. He attended the Church of Repentance Unto Life. He was educated at the School of Obedience, where he also learned kindness, love, forgiveness, and patience. He has a large estate in the country of Christian contentment, where he gives generously of all that he has. But he never does look to acquire more and more. Sometimes he does jobs of self-denial. He wears a garment of humility. And he has another suit to put on when he goes to court. The robe of Christ's righteousness. Each morning and evening, he partakes of spiritual power through prayer. Each Sunday, he eats the bread of life and drinks from the cup of forgiveness and eternal life. Each Sunday, he adds to his assurance of eternal life by listening again and again to the promises in God's Word and preaching. He falls asleep each evening with a smile on his face, because he knows no matter where he may wake, he will wake a happy man. The two stories I just told you illustrate the kind of person Jesus is praying for in our gospel lesson this morning. These scripture verses are part of what is called Jesus' high priestly prayer, or in decades past, or generations past, referred to as the Master's Prayer. As we just heard in the story of the boy, there's strength in unity, just as Jesus is praying for the disciples that they may also be one. In the story of the happy man and woman, we see that being a Christian means that you and I are somehow different from the rest of the world. We live our lives in the world, not of the world. We live in truth, which allows us to live life differently from others who do not know Christ. Today in the church year is a day of waiting. Time for reflection, a time to stop. Time to ponder, to listen carefully, to pray, to feel, to experience, to wait, and to wonder. In the sequence of things, last Thursday was Ascension Day, the day Christ rose and went back into heaven. Today's first reading from Acts is after that ascension. It's the last event before Pentecost. Here the disciples cast lots to select a replacement for Judas, ostensibly so that the Spirit could send a full complement of 12 apostles into the world. But they are still waiting. Of course, next Sunday is Pentecost, the day the Spirit of Jesus, the Holy Spirit, visits the disciples with power. It's also considered the birthday of the Christian church. But today, for the apostles, is an in-between day. It's a waiting day, a day when self-sequestered in an upper room, I imagine the disciples reflected on all that Jesus had taught, all that he had said, and all that he had done. They probably felt frightened and insecure, but also amazed and perplexed. Remember, they had just seen Jesus rise into heaven. It was a glorious event. They now knew for certain that Jesus was with the Father. They knew that he was indeed the Son of God. They knew that Jesus and the Father were really one. But on the other hand, now they were alone, without their friend, without their leader, without their companion. They felt confused, they felt lost. They were wondering what was going to happen next, wondering if this was the end, or was it just the beginning, as Jesus had said. Yes, today in the lives of the disciples and believers with them was a day that was really in between times. Between the time when they had Jesus with them, but before the time when they would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit. I think it's very appropriate that this text from John's Gospel is the appointed reading from today. It's time for them in prayer to think about the words of Jesus, to dwell on his teaching, and to recall the promises he made to them. The high priestly prayer that Jesus prayed with the disciples present before he is arrested, he prayed to comfort the disciples. They didn't understand this prayer at the time. Imagine that, the disciples not understanding something that Jesus had told them. But now they could really appreciate the words of this prayer. They could understand what Jesus meant. As we look at Jesus' words in verses 12 and 13, while I was with them, I kept them in your name, which you have given me. I have guarded them, and not one of them has been lost except the son of destruction, that the scripture might be fulfilled. But now I am coming to you, and these things I speak in the world, that they may have my joy fulfilled in themselves. We can see that the disciples could have drawn strength from this. They could draw power, they could draw assurance that indeed they would be with Jesus again. But Christ's prayer was not a universal prayer. In praying to the Father, Jesus said, I am praying for them. I am not praying for the world, but those whom you have given me, for they are yours. He is not praying for the world here. So, who are them and they? And reading this beautiful prayer through, that question comes to us. Who are they? Who are those? Who are they? Who are these favored individuals that Jesus is praying for from the lips of our own high priest before the throne of God? Jesus gives the answer. No interpretation. No theological gymnastics are necessary to figure it out. Jesus declares they are not of this world, just as I am not of this world. Jesus is praying for unearthly people. They are people somewhat above the world. Jesus prays, Holy Father, keep them in your name which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. Jesus prays that the disciples would remain in the faith, remain in the name of the Father, remain true to the teaching that he had taught them. He is praying for them to remain together, for Jesus knew that unity, in unity, the disciples would be stronger than if each went their separate way. As the disciples stay together, they can remember Jesus' teaching. Remember the story of the boy and the rock? As more and more gathered, they can move the rock. There is unity and strength. Jesus also prays, as he says in verse 15, I do not ask that you take them out of the world, but that you keep them from the evil one. Jesus is saying that the disciples will remain in the world and protect it. That you and I will remain in the world and protect it. There is a task for the disciples to perform. Their mission and our mission. Jesus tells them and us, go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and behold, I am with you always. Jesus ascends into heaven and leaves the disciple with the task to go out into the world and baptize and teach. Luke 24, Jesus said, you are witnesses of these things, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you. But stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. Time has not yet come for the disciples, because the Pentecost event has not come. Stay in the city and wait. Wait for the power from the Father. Wait and the Spirit will come. Wait, disciples and believers. Wait. In general, how good are we, or people, at waiting anyway? During this in-between time, a vacuum has formed. power of Christ has left the world, but the power of the Spirit has not yet entered the disciples. While waiting, Jesus knew they needed to stay together, so when the Spirit came, they could fill the vacuum. The disciples might have recalled his prayer in our gospel to them. They might have recalled his great commission. As they waited, the triune God was getting ready to fill them with the Holy Spirit and the power of Christ and fill that vacuum. The disciples already had the power from Jesus. They cast out demons. They baptized. And more. Their mission was spelled out. They could baptize. They could travel. They could teach a little bit better. But even with these tools at hand, in this in-between time, they didn't know how to use them. They didn't know how to start their mission beyond getting their number back to 12. They needed the Pentecost experience. They needed the guidance of the Spirit. They needed the power of the Spirit to begin. Jesus prayed that while they waited for all this, they would be drawn together. While they waited to get started in their mission, they would not lose faith, but they would remain in the Father. Unlike these disciples in the first century, we don't have to wait to fill the vacuum. There isn't any. That vacuum was over 2,000 years ago. We already have the power of the Spirit to go into the world. Okay? Luke, wait. Isn't this prayer just about the disciples? If we read a few more verses beyond today, I do not ask for these only, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, through the word of the disciples, that they may all be one just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us so that the world may believe that you have sent me. To further answer the earlier question of who then, those who believe in me, us. Why? That they all may be one. How? Just as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they may also be in us. Is there any more joy possible ever than knowing Jesus has prayed this prayer for us for today? Earlier I asked, how good are we at waiting? Good Shepherd of the Valley, you are waiting. You're waiting for a pastor. A new pastor. You're waiting for a new season for your church, your ministry. Just as Jesus did. Just as he prayed for his disciples, he has, he did, and he does pray for all his children to this day. How absolutely powerful and comforting is that, that Jesus is praying for you here as Shepherd in the Valley while you wait. And for all believers while we wait and while we go into the world. We've been brought together into the church, into the body of Christ for unity and strength. We have been reared for the blessing of that happy man. Not of the world, but in the world. We're primed and ready to let the Spirit work in us. As Jesus commissioned us to go. Christ's prayer is for us to be in the world, not of the world. Why? So that we can point people to Christ. To lift people up. Out of the world, no matter what your vocation, by being in the world, but not of the world. Today, our gospel lesson started in the middle of Jesus' prayer. Holy Father, keep them in your name that you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. We each who believe in Jesus are prayed for by our Savior, just as he did for his disciples. For our security, for our deliverance, for our sanctification, for our unity. Yes, at times we must wait, but we also must go. Why? For He is with us to the very end of the age. To God alone the glory,